think I would have liked to have met Moses. I believe he was a troubled individual. I believe that he ran his fingers through his hair over and over again in a nervous fashion. My mom used to have this little thing called a worry stick. It was made out of paper. It wasn't a stick. She would take a piece of paper and like roll it and roll it and roll it real tight into this sort of thing that looked like a stick, like a sucker stick. And then she would twirl it. She called it her worry stick. I think Moses was this way. I think I would have liked talking to this guy. He was persecuted. He was stressed as he led Israel. But he uttered an amazing prophecy, and I've been promising you that I was going to read it from Deuteronomy 30, and I'm going to do that today. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender. This is the Revelation series, and here's something I don't often mention because it's a ticklish topic, but if you like this show and you want to help me keep it going, you can contribute to it financially and help me keep it on, because it does cost money and yours truly, you know, has basic needs, very basic needs. I don't need a Gulfstream jet like Creflo Dollar. Did you see that story in the on the web? This guy was asking his followers for like an $800 million jet, some crazy amount. He needs it, you see, to take the evangel around the world at a speed that he deems necessary. Of course, his evangel is a false one. And no, you know, when you help me, you're helping me, Martin Zender. You're helping me as a person. You're not helping some cold organization. And so I'm your friend. So you're helping your friend. And Creflo Dollar, I shouldn't even mention his name in this context. It's sick. The whole idea of the prosperity teaching, the way they get people in, is that they will tell you that by helping them get their jet, then God will do this miraculous thing for you. And this miraculous thing is something in your life is going to go well. You're going to get money because you give money. That's not my promise. I don't promise you anything like that. In fact, if you align yourself with this ministry, things could start getting hard for you because you're under the scrutiny of the adversary. But if you're like me, you have given up on this life as far as any kind of wealth or benefit or blessings go. I mean, God does bless, but he keeps things at a minimum to keep us on the edge. But I will promise you this, and this promise goes for me as well as to you, those who help me, whether it's to encourage me, to write me, or to help me financially. This is what happens. And I promise you this, is that at the dais, in the next world, not this one, in the next world, that's where the payoff comes. Because to those of you who have helped me, I'll say this, and I say this with boldness, you're backing the right horse. Because the word is going out. People who can't afford it are getting it daily through my newsletter, through this show, through books. And as I said, I think this show is going to be around during the days of affliction, and Jews are going to hear, Israel is going to come to this to get enlightenment. That sounds bold and brash. I don't say that in my own power, because otherwise that would sound ridiculous. Boy, Martin sure blowing his own horn. Oh, speaking of that, we're going to introduce the trumpets this week. No, I'm not. This is ridiculous. I'm way past that. Way past that wise man on the mount crap that I used to think before I started this work. I read a quote about a guy. He said, there was a time when I had 10 theories about child rearing and no children. Now I have 10 children and no theories. Yeah, the reality blows any of your concepts to smithereens. And that's the same. I can say the same thing concerning myself and this work. I had many ideas how this would be, you know, in 1992, the year before I jumped into this, and they were all blown up and exploded. And I've been on the ground face down so many times that it's ridiculous. It's not about me. But God will reward us. God will reward you for helping the word go out with power. And it's going out not splashily, not on a Gulfstream jet. That's the way the world works. That's the way the religious institutions work. They're huge buildings. They're giant programs. They're millions and millions of dollars. You know, $10 a month for me would be fantastic. It would make all the difference in the world. You know, because I travel in a 1999 Ford Contour. But anyway, I always think of, whenever I talk about this, I always think of, I promised myself I'd remember her name. She was in Philippi. Lydia, the seller of purple. She financed Paul's, the carrying of Paul's message into Europe. I mean, that's a hell of a resume entry at the dais that you financed Paul's evangel. So you're financing the evangel going forth through me. I suppose I am the modern day incarnation of these men who went before me, including Paul, including Timothy, and anybody else down the line who was keeping this gospel pure and getting it out. Anyway, on my homepage, you see donate to the ministry in red on the top. There's a lot of different ways to do it. So anything you can do is great. If you can't do it, don't do anything. Don't do anything. I'm not going to be like, who's that lunatic in Oklahoma City or Tulsa, Oklahoma? God's going to strike me down if you don't give me $1 million by midnight on Friday. If I don't get $1 million on Friday, God said he's going to kill me. Many of you would keep that money from me just so I wouldn't be out of your hair. Not you. I have some enemies. Not few. I mean, not many. That was a Freudian slip. Anyway, that's enough of that. Thank you. I enjoy bringing this to you, and God makes it happen. It's organic. It's not by compulsion. It's by joy. And if you don't feel joy in it, forget about it, right? And if I didn't feel joy coming here every day talking to you, I would forget about it. Listen to Moses. Moses prophesied concerning the entire history of Israel. Everything we've been talking about here, about Israel being broken and being cast away and then being brought back. This is the whole picture. You have to see the whole cycle. Don't stop halfway through this amazing thing God is doing with Israel. And again, if you do, then you're walking out of the theater halfway through the movie during the bad news. Right now, Israel is divorced from God, and she's a valley of very dry bones, and she's been fractured. And Moses predicted the dispersion of Israel. Listen to this from Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 3, and this is from the Concordant Version. And it shall come to pass that all the words shall come on you, the blessing and the slighting, which I put before you, and you restore them to your heart among all the nations where Jehovah your God caused you to be driven away. He even speaks of it in the past tense. This is before it happens, I do believe. So he's telling already here that God is going to cause you. I love this word, cause. I hear so many times God allowed Israel to be this. God allowed people to do this because God himself, of course, has his big, fat, hairy hands tied behind his back. And he can only, you know, adjust. He can only allow things. He can only adjust to what people want to do. Well, this person wanted to be stubborn. This person wanted to go away from God, and God allowed it. You know, he just allowed it in his sovereignty. He allowed it. No, he caused it. Listen to this. Moses knows the score. Jehovah your God caused you to be driven away, and you return unto Jehovah your God. When did that happen? The guy's in a zone. He's in a prophecy zone. He's in a PZ right now, and he's like, I don't know if his eyes are glazed or if he's, you know, floating a foot off of the ground. All I know is that this guy, I'm going to start again, because this guy is not even probably, he's maybe looking at the people he's talking to, but his mind is in the future, and he's reviewing the whole history of Israel before it even happens. Thus prophecy. Listen to this. And it shall come to pass. I guess that's where we start. It shall come to pass. So everything else from this point forward is something that will have happened someday to Israel. That all the words shall come on you, the blessing and the slighting, which I put before you, and you restore them to your heart among all the nations where Jehovah your God caused you to be driven away, and you return unto Jehovah your God, and hearken to his voice according to all that I direct you today, you and your sons, with all your heart and with all your soul, and Jehovah your God returns you from your captivity. This is before there has been any captivity, and pities you, and returns and gathers you together from all the peoples where Jehovah your God caused you to be scattered. End quote. There's the entire history of Israel in a nutshell. God caused you to be scattered. He comes, visits you in your scattered places. He puts his law within your heart. We hear about this later, Jeremiah 36, Ezekiel 36, 36, Jeremiah 31, the new covenant. And Moses is talking about it there. Love that guy. I feel sorry for the guy because he was ahead of his time. Obviously, just read that. The guy was ahead of his time. And so was Paul, obviously. So is Jesus Christ. So are you and me. That's the vexation. Now, I mentioned to you that the vast throng that comes after, that is the ingathering of the 144,000 are Israelites. And I suggested that the tabernacle, that the fact that God tabernacles over them speaks of the Feast of Tabernacles, plus the fact that in the unveiling chapter 7, verse 2, is it? They have palms in their hands. That's verse 9, 7, 9. They have palms in their hands. Now, I'm going to read a passage from Nehemiah chapter 8 about the Feast of Booths. This was at a time when they found the law. Ezra found the law, and they realized that, oh, we've not been doing a lot of things that the law said to do. So this is really cool. Listen to this. And it's suggestive. As I read this passage from Nehemiah 8, tie it in with what is happening in Revelation. I'm starting to get really excited about Revelation and Israel in it, because I see now, especially last week when I got that realization concerning the affliction producing these thousands and thousands and thousands of people, it thrilled me that finally all the frustrations are over and God is finally bringing to fruition, the fruit, everything he promised them. That's what the feasts were all about. God used a tiny little example of fruit growing and wheat growing, their crops. Their worship service was dedicated around the sowing and reaping cycle, the agricultural year. The reason is because all that stuff growing and being eaten, it was all just a type and a shadow of the fruit that God was going to bring. What did Jesus do when he wanted to show an example of Israel's disobedience? He showed a withered fig, right? And he pointed to the grapes, and he pointed to wine, and he pointed to olive oil, the olives, and he pointed to wheat, and he's talked about the threshing floor, gathering, all these things. They're typical of what is going to happen with the nation Israel. That's why there are 12 loaves of bread in the sanctuary of the temple, because it typifies 12, typifies administration. Bread typifies food. Jesus didn't feed them for nothing. It was typical of the great feeding that Israel will provide for the world during the thousand years. I see my time is running out rapidly. And the people eat, drink, send portions, make great joy. And on the second day, they have been gathered, heads of the fathers, all the people, the priests, the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to act wisely concerning the words of the law. Wow, even that? Good call. And they find written in the law that Jehovah commanded by the hand of Moses that the sons of Israel dwell in booths in the feast in the seventh month. That is the Feast of Tabernacles, the final feast of the year in October. And that they proclaim and cause to pass over all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go ye out to the mount, bring leaves of the olive and leaves of the oil tree and leaves of the myrtle and leaves of the palms. There's your leaves. And leaves of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So they didn't just wave the first fruit. That was part of it. That was the early thing. This is the ingathering. The first fruit was earlier in the year in April. This is the ingathering. And they made temporary booths for themselves, but they made it out of green stuff. They took living palms and living leaves of trees, the myrtle and from the olive trees, and they made themselves booths, and the people did it, and they celebrated it because it had been neglected for many a year, and the people go out and bring in and make for themselves booths, and they're happy as snot to be doing this. They're happy to leave their elegant stone homes and live in leafy huts for a while. I think that'd be great. I'd love to do that myself, but it's not for us to do. But I think it's fantastic because it tells them, look, we don't give a crap about this world. We're looking forward to God once again of being our God and taking us day by day, trusting him day by day, you know, because wow, that's long gone for them, hasn't it? And in the broad place of the water gate, in the broad place of the gate of Ephraim, and they make all the assembly of the captives of the captivity booths. And they sit in booths. They just sit in booths. That's so spiritual. I love that. What are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? How's your walk? Pretty good. Well, you're just sitting in a leafy booth. Yeah, that's right. It's the most spiritual thing I could be doing right now. For the sons of Israel had not done. They had not done that, right? This is after the captivity. From the days of Jeshua, son of Nun, so unto that day. And there is a very great joy. Very great joy. And that is what we're seeing with the vast throng. Great joy. And we're going to see the reward of these people tomorrow, because their reward is great. And when you see what their reward is, you'll see what their suffering has been. And we, too, need to look forward to a reward. God does not leave us without an expectation. How do you think you're going to get through this life without an expectation? You think God's going to leave you bereft of a wonderful fantasy outcome of all this? No, he's not. Israel has it, so you sure as heck have it.